This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U-Mobile.
BFM 89.9, I'm Philip C. and welcome to The Breakfast Grill. On today's Breakfast Grill, we are in conversation with Tay King Chong, Managing Director of DNO, one of the world's largest producers of light-emitting diodes and other semiconductors for the automotive industry, based in Malacca. Can I just say, 2021 was an exceptional year for DNO. Revenue up from 576 to 847 million. Net profit more than doubled from 58 million to 125 million. In a year with significant supply chain constraints, how did you deliver those numbers?
Thanks. Yeah, 2021 was a very challenging year indeed. Yeah. If you look at the whole year, we actually suffered a shutdown, especially in July and August. We had almost a 2 months net-wise shutdown. So it was very tough for us. But I think we have a great team, really a marvelous team, work together, ramp up the capacities, catch up the whatever backlogs. Yeah. So it took us almost 6 or 7 months to catch up those backlogs. So with that, we make a record. It was actually an unprecedented result that we grew 47%. Yeah. That no semiconductors industry grew that with that quantum. And on top of that, our profit after tax grew 124%. Yeah. Again, it's unprecedented. I want to thank all my team in DNO and Dominant for sure. Without them, we can never achieve.
If you did not have those closures, what kind of numbers would you have produced? How much did that affect your production?
Yeah, it's a good question. Without that closure, we will exceed easily about 55% growth.
You would have hit 1 billion revenue? Because 847 was the number, so you could have hit 1 billion easily.
Easily, yeah, that's right.
What would 2022 be like then? So 1 billion ringgit is definitely achievable, isn't it, this year?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this year, I want to be very careful. I mean, looking at the situation in the world with this kind of European crisis. But having said that, I think the order on hand with us is still very, very strong. We are full all the way up to mid of the year. Certainly, we are still very excited about the whole business, growth-wise. Certainly, this year, we are looking forward to.
This crisis you mentioned, yes, it's a real serious problem, but isn't it an incredible opportunity for you? I mean, the auto industry is at a seismic shift, isn't it, as it goes towards EVs? And you would be an ultimate beneficiary of this. This crisis is really an opportunity for DNO, isn't it?
Yes, for sure. Yeah, with this, especially with the oil issue, right? I mean, the world wants to push more into the all the electric car. That's for sure. So now, of course, there will be, on the semiconductor side, maybe there's some material shortage here and there, but definitely not in the LED area. We are pretty comfortable with the supplies so far. We even have consignment stocks, inventory on hand, roughly about 2 to 3 months. So that's the situations that we guarantee to our customers that there won't be any shortage of supplies.
You have your supply chain down pat. Everything is ready to ramp up to deliver really stellar numbers in 2022. So in your projections for EV vehicles, right? You clearly state that that's a catalyst for DNO. Currently, revenue contribution sits about 5%. Where do you expect this to contribute in 5 years' time? How much do you think EVs will contribute to your bottom line?
If you look at the whole world, last year, the EV contribution is roughly about 5%, 4 to 5%. And that's about the same ratio as where we are today. And this year, if you look at Bloomberg's news, that was about 3-4 weeks ago, expect to hit about 10 million cars with the EV, 10 million out of 90 over million. So we expect it to be roughly about 12 to 15% in that range. So we expect that same ratio as well. So that's a great opportunity.
So the constraint for you to deliver these numbers to grow really is a function of your capacity. You have one facility in Malacca. You have a second one coming online Q2. Is that correct?
We have single factory in Malacca because the plant one is almost full. And that plant one basically contributes about 1 billion sales. The plant two is already, commenced. we just have to just continue to expand in a plan two. Yeah.
Plan one can deliver you 1 billion ringgit revenue. How much can plan two deliver for you? How much incremental revenue can plan two deliver?
That's a very good question. We have done that planning, and it can contribute roughly about 1.3 to 1.5 billion ringgit.
Incremental to that?
Yes.
Because then you have very large ambitions, correct me if I'm wrong, because you are in the pipeline to plan a plan three as well, isn't it?
Yes, that's correct. That's beyond 2025. So the plan three, most of my major shareholders is aware that we had a fundraising in December last year.
Yep.
And that's for the 10th floor buildings will be completed by end of 2024. So that's something that beyond 2025, we have another facilities for us to do further expansion.
Are they all the same facilities, or how are you going to break down or split the capacity between the three facilities in terms of your products?
Generally, as an automotive manufacturer, our manufacturing platform is so-called common platform. Yeah, so it can be shared. Let's say 70% of the machines can be convertible and shared. So that is not a major concern.
So from a number standpoint, you're now delivering 1 billion ringgit revenue with your plan one. When plan two is activated, which is, I believe, being activated as we speak now, it adds another 1.3 to 1.5, giving you a cumulative about 2.5 billion, hopefully by end of 2024. Then with plan three activated by end of 2024, how much does that additional revenue come through with plan three then?
I would say the plan two should be fully utilized by 2025. And then that's first additional 1.2 to 1.5.
So hitting 2.5 billion cumulatively by 2025?
Beyond that would be the our plan three. And from the initial planning, the plan three should generate roughly about additional about another 2.5 to 3 billion.
Okay. So full revenue capacity and potential is close to 5B.
Yeah, that's a roadmap all the way up to 2030, 2031.
Very good. I think that explains a lot why investors love your shares and stocks, isn't it? I mean, yes, it's really taken a beating in the past few months, but honestly, a P ratio of 56, you are trading much higher than your levels, although it came from its highs of hundreds, you know. Why do you think people love your stock so much?
I think there's a lot of upside in our business, not just from the growth of EV itself, but I think I also explained to many shareholders about the technological opportunities. You look at cars with the display panels, that panel is getting bigger and bigger with the new car that's coming in, and also more and more panels. People sitting at the back, even the SUV, every seat at the back, there's one panel. So this has become an important area. And of course, this involved with a lot of LEDs. So there's a lot of technological conversion in that particular area. Now, on top of that, there are activities like smart LEDs, where we combine IC driver with the LEDs. And that's also part of the so-called sustainability in terms of environment that we help to help customers to save carbon, you reduce the cables, you reduce copper cable by 50%, and these are a lot more opportunities. And also, I think you start to see some advertisement. For example, those branded car like BMW with different color in the body, right?
Yeah.
So car body lighting become a necessity as part of the
it's a statement. Brand. Yeah.
Or brand identity with so many new models now. From the EVs, you obviously need something to create an identity. And I think the automotive LEDs will play a very, very important role moving forward.
So give us a sense, right? A car 10 years ago versus a car now, how many more LEDs or sophisticated LEDs are there in a car versus what it was like 10 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, look at 10 years ago, maybe one car you have 500 LEDs, all right? I mean, today you look at just a simple model. I mean, like XPeng, the one in China, the very hot topic about this EV new design. Just at the back, the RCL itself, with some of the LEDs, it's already almost 3,000 to 4,000.
Wow. Okay.
So that's a very exciting kind of a trend we see so far. And Certainly, yeah. Many other car models would like to have a similar kind of concept, you know, to create a very clear brand identity.
Okay, we see the market opportunities. You say you've already kind of articulated where are the niches that come through, and they no longer become niches because they are becoming necessities in distinguishing the models of different cars. Let's talk about the bottom line. EPS growth 29% in 3 years. EBIT margin grew from 16% to 22%. What's driving the margin improvement?
As we move into, for example, we move from a single LED into a multiple LED, more colors, tri-colors, and moving forward with the smart LEDs, yeah, more and more component. The ASP can only go up, yeah. And with more and more new product that goes into this kind of a higher ASP, obviously, yeah, the bottom line will improve better.
So smart LED ASPs versus an LED ASP, what's the difference like? What's the margin difference?
I mean, look at the sales revenue. It's 10x more, yeah, you know, per piece. So obviously, it's a lot higher ASP.
On The Breakfast Grill, I'm in conversation with Tay Keng Cheong, Managing Director of DNO, as we discuss their customers and markets in the LED and semiconductor business for the automotive industry. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Welcome back. On The Breakfast Grill, we have with us Tay Keng Cheong, Managing Director of DNO, in the hot seat as we earlier talked about his booming business in the LED and semiconductor business for the automotive industry. Can I just get your perspective on markets, your market concentration? DNO has about 100 over customers, 110, with the top 25 contributing 75% of its revenue. Now, a key country, a key market is China, accounts for 40% of your total revenue. Are you worried about concentration risk?
No, because if you look at the whole world in terms of cars, let's say 90 over million cars, China easily contribute about 25, 28 million in those days. Yeah, so China is always still a very large market compared to the world. US, maybe about now it's about 12 million, 30 million cars a year. Europe also in that number. Yeah. So obviously, you know, China as well as Asia or Southeast Asia would be still a very large market. But a lot of players, a lot of all these players in China or in Southeast Asia is actually also from Europe.
Can I just get your perspective on China specifically? Tell me your client base in China. How diversified is it in China? Because China has many EV players and also auto players, right? Are you concentrated in China or are you diversified in China?
In China, it's pretty diversified. There are coming an important market. Yeah,
I mean, just taking a step back, do you think Malaysia has the potential to be an auto hub? Or do you think it's just very hard?
Yeah, this is sometimes related to political topic. Yeah, I think our so-called headcount is also pretty much tied. Yeah. And I think a lot of big manufacturers, big car manufacturers, you can see that they move to Indonesia. Yeah. There's plenty of resources there, especially people. Yeah, but I must say that in terms of semiconductors, parts or LED parts, you can see Malaysia still maintain a very good position. Look at so many factory, new one set up in Malaysia. That proves that we have a certain core competency. Yeah. In the semiconductors, especially the back-end manufacturing.
I wonder whether there will come a point in time where these markets hit a certain scale where you might even consider having your fourth facility actually closer to where your clients are, like in China itself or Indonesia or India. Wouldn't it make more sense to have a fourth facility closer to your markets, especially when you hit a certain scale?
I think for semiconductors, it's not a problem because our parts are very small. So logistics is not an issue at all. So as long as the world logistics, the flights are everywhere, availability is so...
But it comes at a cost, though. The logistics cost could be more expensive than your supply parts eventually, isn't it? If you're talking about $120 fuel at the moment.
You know, our logistics cost is only about 0.6% of my total cost. So at this juncture, it's not an issue at all. I mean, if you go into those big industry, big parts,
sure.
Yes, you have to be close to the customer because logistic cost. I think you need shipment, yeah?
Yeah.
And that has big impact. But for us, I don't see any issues at all. Semiconductors, I think more important is to make sure that, you know, like in Malaysia, we continue to build a pool of talented people in semiconductors, yeah? Universities, be it of industries, and so on, yeah? So as long as we continue that momentum, I think this place is still good, yeah, for semiconductors.
Building on that thought then about creating this pool of semiconductor engineers, why Malacca? Why start and build your first, second, third facilities all in Malacca? Malacca doesn't scream the location where you have ecosystem of semiconductor engineers. You would naturally think somewhere like Penang, perhaps, or even Klang Valley. Why Malacca?
So, good questions. A lot of people will be surprised that a company like National Semiconductors or even Siemens, yeah, which was my previous company, came here in 1972. Yeah. So, it's 50 years. Yeah. And throughout these 50 years, a lot of the staff, you know, quit the job and set up their own support company, tooling and so on. So software as well. So you see this ecosystem naturally in Malacca as well. Yeah. That helps a lot. I mean, surprise! Our neighboring factory in Fineon, they have 10,000 workers. That's something attractive in Malacca, right?
Fine, but is it hard for you to secure engineers in Malaysia? Because we are seeing that problem in Penang, isn't it? That it's very hard to get talent in Malaysia. Is it hard for you to source for talent?
I think Malacca, this place is not too crowded yet. So to get good engineers, I don't see any issues at this point in time.
How many engineers do you have at the moment?
Just R&D engineers itself. Just R&D, we have roughly about 150.
And how many do you need to have in the future? What's your goal in terms of R&D engineers?
I think hopefully by 2025, we should have 300 R&D engineers. There's so many new ideas, new products, not just LEDs, but sensors, infrared sensors, lasers, many more things.
You spend 5% of your revenue on R&D. Is that enough then?
Do you expect
that to go up?
5% is, in terms of the local industry, all the direct investment, I think we are kind of high, in the high side. Yeah. But certainly, with this kind of high innovations, 5% it's quite normal. Yeah, maybe you will climb up to 6-7% eventually. But I think that is a fundamental that we need to make sure the company must have. Yeah, there's many new patterns.
Yeah. So tell me about your R&D focus and efforts. Then you've already intimated that there are many opportunities that you are looking at. Can you help me understand what are your R&D priorities at DNO? What areas are you looking at very actively?
Actually, whatever R&D is trying to do, everything has to go back to what market wants. Yeah. So I think the most important role that we see now is the marketing. The market is going to be critical. The data come back from the market is going to be really, really accurate so that the R&D align to what marketing wants and make sure that the products are attractive. Yeah. So you can see that some product, when we introduce it to market, it's really a wow factor. Yeah. It creates something that differentiates to what other players are doing. Why I say differentiation, we can help customers to save materials. Yeah. Using an external lens, you can take it out from the external lens. You can use direct LED with that built-in lens, for example. Yeah. So these are things that value proposition creation is utmost. Yeah.
And I want to bring us back to the original acquisition you had planned for with Precision Electroplating Services, Syntronics Asia, which was terminated, valued about 55 million ringgit. Why was that deal terminated?
Actually, this factory, Syntronics, is just located beside us. So you saw they have that plating facilities.
Which is very important for you, isn't it?
It's one of the process. And our main objective is to set up a so-called pre-molding product. Yeah. This pre-molding is special because it's hybrid. We embedded certain components inside that pre-molding product. Yeah. And to do this, of course, it's good to have so-called inline process that you have a plating, and as after that, you can do a pre-molding. So that was our intention. But anyway, even without that Sotronics, we will still proceed that pre-molding process. And because that differentiates us to other mediocre players. We can have better embedding of the...
But why did the deal fall through?
Sorry?
Why did the deal fall through?
Well, there's some terms and conditions, especially performance of the company. So somehow it did not fulfill that. So,
would it be fair to say that during the due diligence, you found that the numbers were not up to mark, to the requirements needed to pass master?
I wouldn't like to elaborate too much because that company has been acquired by someone else. But anyway, I think that's no regret. I think it was the right decision.
And so the strategy going forward is to do and have that inbuilt capacity within DNO. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
If we reflect on your history, you have grown from strength to strength. You are now the top 5 player in the world, right? Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes.
But still a distant number five player, correct me.
Yeah, I think that figure is showing number 5. Because the number 4, I think the data may not be correct. It's different type of products. Yeah. Anyway, it's in the modules. Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. I think... we are not too far from there anyway. And I think in the market, it is more important that we continue to win. You can see our design-in, the so-called design-in success rate. We look at last year versus year before, if we look at the 2 years, we saw a very significant double-digit kind of a growth, all right, 44%. That's very, very encouraging. Because when you have a strong design in, it's a question of a year later, you have that design win or business win, so to speak.
But do you think M&A is inevitable to basically secure pricing power after the innovation plateaus?
No, I think if M&A has to take place, it's more for, synergy in terms of technology, so-called breakthrough, all right, and that's more inclined to what I'm looking at. For so-called expansion, I think in the world there are not many manufacturers that have a similar platform as us. I think there's only 5-6 companies in the world that has this kind of platform. So. I wouldn't spend too much time in that area, but if you talk about M&A, I would look into technology breakthrough kind of M&A. That's something very exciting.
Technology, yes. So in summary, you wouldn't entertain an offer from your competitors.
I think our platform today is one of the world best platform in terms of efficiency. I mean, look at our plant one. With only 16,000 square meter built in, it's equivalent to 1 billion in sales revenue. That's world class. So we'll continue to be more innovative to make sure that the line is always in a high density manufacturing platform. That's very important that we emphasize. There's a lot of industrial 4 activities ongoing, AI activities as well.
A lot more work to do, but so many more opportunities to capture. Today, we have with us Tay King Chong, Managing Director of DNO for our Breakfast Grill. I'm Philip C, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.